can't believe what Bill Maher has been saying. Bill Maher, no less.
Oh, boy.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In studio is Tony Massey. Tony, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me, Bob.
Tony's going to help me talk through the Bill Maher audio that this has been on many news outlets around the country because, shockingly, Bill Maher, who hates Christians, he's defending Christians against Muslims.
Yeah, it's completely wild.
It's so unexpected, but obviously true. So we have that audio. Tony, also, I'd like to share with people the one sentence from the Brady Amendment, which is our fourth round in Colorado personhood amendment.
Good.
And that one sentence will be very important for people to understand how the Brady Amendment works and get a petition and try
Absolutely.
To stop the killing of unborn children. And then the reason I asked you into the studio today is because you and your cohort, Joe Scott,
yep.
you guys, you get in trouble all the time, Tony. You yeah. guys were at the Denver abortion mill, Planned Parenthood, and you were accused of following the wife of the security guy.
Yeah, we supposedly followed her all the way to Arapahoe Community College
way,
in Littleton.
Way south.
We live in Westminster.
A completely, a story made up out of whole cloth.
It's complete.
Completely
absolute
false.
False lie.
But the abortionist in Denver, they have the ability to skip the police department and go right to the DA's office.
That's what it looks like.
And
happened,
so you yeah. guys were in court yesterday.
Yep,
right?
We were in court.
So I'd like to rehear the overview of the alleged vehicular stalking, and then we'll get to the court case yesterday.
And that's why
hearing.
We call it justice system.
Justice. It's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system.
That's right, Bob.
I've heard that before.
I have too.
Okay. So Tony Massey, let's begin. We'll ask our board operator. We'll hear the audio from, now this is Bill Maher, who's had politically incorrect with Bill Maher for years. I
yep.
was on his program over the years, I think four or five times. My co-host Doug McBurney's been on a couple times with Bill Maher. And Tony, people I've been opposite to on that program on ABC have included people like that comedian Martin Short.
Oh, wow.
You've heard of him. Jimmy Kimmel, I guess he's a late night talk show
yep.
host. He's a real pervert. Sisqó, a rapper. Donny Osmond, Judd Nelson, Larry Flint, who's the pornographer.
Oh, boy.
And in fact, people could see all these. Just go to our website, kgov.com, and search for Bob Debates the Stars. And they could get that.
And, of course, there's a lot of other great resources there, too.
Yeah. Well, there are. Thank you for that.
You're
okay.
Welcome.
So the guy that Bill Maher is speaking with is a professor from a California State University, Brian Levin. He's trying to claim that Islam is the same as Judaism and the same as Christianity as far as violence and terrorism and all goes, which is absurd.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, it's not to say that in history that people in the name of Christ have done horrific things.
Oh, of course.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But as Bill Maher will point out, well, we're living in 2013 and things are different. So let's hear this.
I'm always interested to know how people like the people we caught today up in Boston can have two minds going at the same time. I mean, if you read what the older brother wrote on his on the internet, he said his worldview, Islam, personal priorities, career and money. And we see this a lot. I mean, the 9/11 hijackers went to strip clubs the
yeah.
night before they got on the plane.
Stop the tape. Stop the tape. That we all heard that in the news, right?
Of course, yeah. Go to the clubs the night before and yeah. drink and party and whatever.
Yeah, I believe that these suicide bombers, these jihadists, are told, they're lied to. First of all, Muhammad is a false prophet. Allah is no God.
Absolutely.
But they're lied to and told, well, if you're going to become a martyr, and, they become martyrs by killing the innocent.
Yes, absolutely. And then,
right.
then you have 72 virgins waiting for you in heaven.
Right.
Well, of course, it's not heaven, but that's what they're told.
Right.
They buy it.
Yeah, they do buy it, tragically.
Mm-hmm.
And, we here at Bob and Yurt Live, Tony, some years ago, we answered the great question of our day, which is if the suicide bombers get 72 virgins, There have been some female suicide bombers.
Yeah, what do the women get?
What do they get? We answered that on this show years ago. They get to opt out of the whole 72 virgins thing.
Oh, okay.
So they could opt out. They don't have to be a part of that.
Oh, great. Excellent.
And so you could figure out their motivation. But the reality of hypocrisy is, of course, obvious.
Absolutely.
The Bible speaks of the hypocrisy of a human being. Even if you know something is true, then there's something in you that our flesh, because we're rebelling from God, we're fallen, our flesh pulls us to do what is wrong.
Yeah,
it's this constant temptation.
Our hearts are wicked inherently.
Yeah, exceedingly wicked, the mm-hmm. heart. That's exactly right. And so it's not surprising, especially when somebody's caught up in a false religion, that they will then be susceptible to these lies. You could be sexually immoral and Allah will still approve of you, whereas the Bible says, Old and New Testament, that the presumptuous sin, the high-handed sin, where somebody says, I know God's going to forgive me and I don't care, and God says, I will not forgive you for that sin. This is from the Mosaic Law, and it's referenced in the New Testament also. So this is very dangerous when you believe a lie. Lies.
It just keeps going and going and going.
It does. Jesus Christ said that he was the truth. He is the truth.
Yep.
And lies lead to destruction, where Jesus Christ leads to life. And the Quran denies that Christ rose from the dead. And so, hence the horrendous fate that Muslims are looking forward to, rejecting the one who came and died for them and was mm-hmm. raised from the
yep.
dead.
That's right.
All right. So let's continue, though. That's just the beginning. We have about 2 minutes of this. So let's hear it.
But could I just interject? Look, it's not like people who are Muslim who do wacky things have a monopoly on it. We have hypocrites across faiths, Jewish, Christian, who say they're out for God and they end up doing
you know what?
Nice
that,
things.
Yeah.
All faith is hypocrites.
No, there are.
You made
they're
a career
just,
on that.
They're not as dangerous. I mean, there's only one faith, for example, that kills you or wants to kill you if you draw a bad cartoon of the prophet. There's only one faith that kills you or wants to kill you if you renounce the faith. An ex-Muslim is a very dangerous thing. Talk to Salman Rushdie after the show about Christian versus Islam. So, you know, I'm just saying, let's keep it real.
Well, I guess I have a girl for you, Pam Geller, you could maybe meet. No, I really disagree with you.
I don't know what that means.
Well, she's an Islamophobe. But no,
I'm not an Islamophobe. That's wrong. I am a truth lover. All religions are not alike. As many people have pointed out, the Book of Mormon, did you see the show?
No, it's hard to get tickets.
Okay. Can you imagine if they did the Book of Islam? Could they do that? There's only one religion that threatens violence and carries it out for things like that. Could they do the Book of Islam on Broadway?
Possibly so, but... Possibly so.
Tell me what color the sky is in your world.
Here's my difficulty with your premise here, Bill, and that is, look at how religions over history have had things done in their name that have been terrible.
Absolutely.
Right.
But we're not in history. We're in 2013.
If I may, though, you are making an error in that Islam has over 1.4 billion adherents. There's a heterogeneity to it. Are there extremists who are horrible people who would slit your throats? Yes, but there are also folks that are fine, upstanding people.
Of course.
And I'm very
That's
worried that you have a national audience where
no,
we're,
no, no.
we're promoting
no, no, no.
Islamic hatred.
We're not. No, you're wrong about that. And you're wrong about your facts. Now, obviously, most Muslim people are not terrorists. But ask most Muslim people in the world, if you insult the prophet, do you have what's coming to you? It's more than just a fringe element.
I disagree with you. I think what
you're wrong.
And he's wrong. Brian Levin is wrong. Tony, we have seen after 9/11. I mean, as 9/11 is still happening, I remember on CNN seeing the response from the Palestinian territories.
Oh, they were celebrating. They're burning flags and stuff.
Exactly right. The West Bank, the Gaza Strip. We've gone to Israel three
times.
Even
after Boston, they were celebrating.
After Boston, they were celebrating. That is exactly right. I remember seeing the video of old ladies throwing candy in the streets when the Twin Towers fell.
Oh, man.
And that's a tradition there. That's what they do if they're going to have a parade, a celebration. The kids go in the streets, and old ladies stand on the front porch, and they throw candy to them. They were doing that when the Twin Towers fell.
Oh, that's sad.
So this is the most extraordinary example of terrorist hatred of civilians in modern history.
Well, 3,000 people dying on the other side of the world, people are celebrating. So.
Right. And so that was not a fringe reaction to Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. That was almost a consensus view in huge swaths of the Islamic world. So that where Osama bin Laden's photo, you buy it on T-shirts and posters for years after 9/11.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, it's most Muslims are not terrorists. There's a significant percentage of the Muslim community that is supportive, that looks fondly on the jihadists.
Yes.
Yeah. So Bill Maher, well, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Oh, yeah.
And Bill, I mean, it's
that's
hard.
Wild.
You got to be an idiot to say the things Brian Levin was saying. You got to be an idiot.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Right. But that's not surprising. Right? Okay. So, Tony, before we get to your case where the alleged vehicular stalking with you and Joe Scott, the Brady Amendment, I'd like to read the one sentence from the amendment that's the effective part.
Okay.
You know, like the active ingredients in some medicine.
Yep.
Well, there's one sentence that's actually the law part of this amendment. And it says this: in the interest of the protection of pregnant mothers and their unborn children from criminal offenses and negligent and wrongful acts. So this is not just a vehicular homicide. This is to protect children from criminal offenses and wrongful acts. The words person and child in the Colorado Criminal Code must include unborn human beings.
Well, that's great.
So, yeah. So our criminal code says you cannot intentionally kill an innocent person.
Correct.
So now, if this amendment passes and if it is upheld, which those are two big ifs, right?
That's real hit and miss in this court system.
Yeah, it's real difficult. But human rights movements, they don't have it easy.
No, they don't.
It's not easy, right? And so so you fight for what is right because it's right.
Yes.
And along the way, the enemy camp, they take casualties. They lose people who rejected Jesus Christ, who wanted to kill the innocent. And so the gospel is powerful. The truth is powerful. And we win people over. We save the lives of unborn children.
Yes.
As we get people we ask them to sign the Brady Personhood Amendment, pro-life amendment, and we get to talk to people.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, that helps our cause, and it helps us to educate people on why it's important to stand up for innocent lives and the innocent lives of the unborn.
And you do that at Denver's largest child killing center all week long.
Yes. Well, I'm kind of on timeout right now, but...
Well, you're on timeout, so let's get to that. So you're there with Cliff Powell and Ken and Joe Scott and others.
Leslie, and we have a bunch of people come down there.
Yeah, so many, really. I was not there Saturday a few weeks ago. There were 60 people there.
Yeah, Saturday we have a lot of people that come out.
Yeah, and by the way, let me announce, later this summer, coming up, the worship team at Denver Bible Church, they will have a worship service at the abortion mill. There's an empty lot right across the street, close from the front gates. So they will have their worship team there, and they will be worshiping the Lord, praying to be a testimony to women who are scheduled to kill their children there.
Yep.
I plan to be there, of course, as the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And I also heard there's another church in town that is scheduled a day to have their worship team at the abortion mill this summer.
Well, you know, it is a place to have church. You know, we have church there, you know, every day. You know, the word of God is spoken You know, people sing praise and worship, and, you know, they're gathering with other Christians. So it's definitely, you know, church.
Yeah.
And so it'll be great to have the churches out there. And, you know, I'll be able to be out there on those Saturdays as well.
And thank you for being there week in and week out, year in and year out. But so tell us about, Joe Scott has told us now what happened, but give us an overview. You guys were leaving the abortion mill, and the wife of the head of security for Planned Parenthood was also leaving in her car from their parking lot.
Yeah, so basically, I'll just give you a quick rundown of what happened here. We were packing up all of our stuff, getting ready to, you know, leave for the day. It was about, you know, noon or 12:30, somewhere in there. And finally kind of have all of our things packed up, and all of our vehicles are kind of getting ready to go. I'm with Joe in her car.
She's driving. Ken Scott is driving their van. He's going one direction. You guys are headed
home. We're headed home.
Right. Which is north from 38th and Quebec, basically.
Yes. But here's what happened. So somewhere along the way, Jim Pryor, he's the head of security for Planned Parenthood. He hates being called a security guard. He's kind
of
like
Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains.
Correct. Right. Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains. Yeah. And so his wife, you know, they go out to lunch and whatever, and she brings him back, and then she leaves and goes and does other things. On this particular day, it was March 7th is the day, she pulls out to go wherever she's going, and we're going, but she pulls out of the parking lot as we're leaving. And so
then, and she actually pulled out and waited for a while.
Yeah, she was kind of, I think, you know, we think she was waiting. And then,
right,
you know,
because when, she didn't pull out of the driveway and just leave. She pulled to the edge of the driveway and waited.
Yeah.
And you guys have filed for a subpoena deuces tecum. I hate to speak Latin.
Yeah.
But in order to get Planned Parenthood to turn over the video that they have.
Mm-hmm.
To show that she didn't just leave. She seemed to be waiting
for us to leave.
You guys to drive in front of her, and she pulled behind you guys.
Yeah, well, she pulled ahead of us, and so then
we ended up
being behind her.
Right.
And so we were behind her for maybe about a half a mile or so, or a minute or two, simply because the interstate highways are about a half a mile or 2 minutes away.
Right. I-70.
You have I-70, you have I-270 are right over there on
right.
Over
and
there on
everybody
Quebec
typically, if you're going north or west or even
you go to the
southwest,
you go to the highway.
You go to I-70 and right.
So we went home. I live up in northwest Denver. Joe and them live up in Thornton or North Glen or whatever, in that area. Mm-hmm. And so we went home. We went to my house, and Joe dropped me off, and then Joe went to her house. And then, so we thought that was the end of it.
Yeah, right.
But
you're living in the world of the pro-life activists, so no day is a normal day.
That was not the end of it.
No.
Here's what happened. So Jim says... Oh, he likes sending
Jim. Say
Jim is the head of security for Planned
Parenthood.
I don't
like being too familiar with him. So, what's his full name?
It's Jim Pryor.
Jim Pryor. So
and
Pryor. What did he say?
He likes emailing. I have an email address on my website, bloodworker.com.
Bloodworker.com.
Where I'm trying to expose abortionists and companies serving the abortionists. So he likes using that email address on that website to email me, and he kind of taunts me in this and that and the other. And so he's like, well, hey, thanks for giving my wife the opportunity to file a police report for being behind her. And it turns out that the story has become that we followed her all the way to basically Littleton. And it's
which is
Arapahoe Community College.
It's somewhat startling. Because, for one, Joe Scott, she goes up north, you get home, she goes to her family,
yes,
and she goes shopping immediately, and she has receipts, and she has photos of her.
Well, it turns out they have a photograph of her at a store.
Yes,
so
with time and date stamped, and her credit card receipt, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So it's all, and they know this, they listen to this show, they've heard this, but they're delusional. And they have the Denver district attorney that will lie for them, manipulate the courts for them.
Well,
so they're proceeding.
Well, yeah. So that's what happened. And so So basically, that's kind of the story. Supposedly, we followed her to Littleton. They went ahead and talked to the right people. They couldn't talk to the police, wouldn't take the report, but they finally got it in. We were arrested. We were thrown in jail for a day or so.
Yeah. Now, normally, the police do an investigation first.
Yes.
Normally. So but the police
should, wouldn't take the report
should
twice.
Should come to you guys and say, could you establish?
We called them. We called them
you
to
called
us.
Them. You we went there. Them.
And we went
and,
there.
And normally, they'd say, well, can you show where you were afterward? But that whole phase
no,
was skipped.
They totally
went right to the
it.
DA.
They went. Right. They went somewhere, wherever they went. And so then we now have criminal charges against us, and we are now in the court system.
Well, I'm sorry that that's happened to you, Tony, but I admire you. You're one of my heroes. Jesus said, blessed are you when men revile you and say all manner of evil things about you for my name's sake. So I don't know if it feels like a blessing, but you're blessed.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, this is kind of part of it, and it. You know, just because we're not able to be at the abortion clinic for a little bit, well, we'll be doing other things like being on the radio show or, you know, other places that we can be and do things.
So you're not able to be there right now because there's a temporary restraining order.
Yes,
they've actually taken
out a restraining order.
So let's continue. You're doing a great job helping us go through the story. So it went to the DA.
So I went to the DA. We got the charges. Yesterday is our first court appearance for. Now, this is where we get to justice system, because it's not a justice system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can lie in court as long as the judge and the prosecutors are okay with it, because, you know, people are in there with crimes such as, you know, driving without a license or whatever. And the judge tells them, well, just go down to the DMV, get a license and come back. And you can plead to a crime of displaying a fictitious license plate.
Yeah, Tony, when we pro-lifers end up in court more often than the normal Christian, right?
Yes.
I might have more time trial experience than your average trial attorney, as far as I know. I got a lot of time in front of juries.
Or Ken and Cliff.
Okay. Oh, brother. Yeah. And they're federal court and state court everywhere. But we see the system in the bowels of it. It's like watching sausage being made.
Yes.
But it's so much worse than that. Just the courts encourage people to lie systematically.
Absolutely. It's absolutely. They got to get those cases through there. So
systematically.
Just plead to this, pay your fine, and out the door.
The judges tell them to lie.
Yes, they actually approve of lies.
Right.
It's literal lies.
And the lawyers lie, and the lawyers hardly even recognize it when they're lying and when they're asking people to lie to the court. They don't even recognize it. It's just so systemic.
And so they're in there throwing deals around. And I bet you can guess who didn't get offered a deal yesterday.
Come on. Now, they were letting people go by the dozens to offer these bogus plea bargain deals, like, say, it's obstructed windshield or something.
Yeah.
They didn't. Surely they offered you guys a deal, since it's such a trumped up thing anyway.
No deal.
They didn't?
No offer of deal, straight to the trial division. And not only that, they tried to force us to sign this restraining order. We didn't. But then they said, well, if you don't sign it, we'll throw you in jail. So then we had to sign it. So.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Tony, when I was tried for spanking one of our kids, I forget now how many trials I had. 3-4 trials. Eventually, they got me. We had mistrials. I won a trial. But eventually, they got me. And I recall, I mean, this went on for years. And the day I was in court, they let, in Adams County, they let someone charged with conspiracy to murder. They let him off because of his speedy trial rights.
Yeah, they wanted to get you.
Because the docket was too full. And, well, I was in another court in Jefferson County. But there's no way in the world they're going to let a pro-lifer go for the things that they let murderers go.
And that's
for.
What Cliff has told me, too. That he had a speedy trial. They had to take his case or somebody else's case. And so they let the other
they
guy go.
They let criminals
took
go.
Cliff's
and
case.
That happened to me. It's happened to all of us. They let serious criminals go to carry on these fictitious cases against pro-lifers.
Yep. So this one is completely 100%. Lies. But the devil is a liar, and so, you know, we come to expect
But, you know,
lies.
Joe Scott was saying she thinks that this woman simply knows, this Krista Pryor, that it's complete fabrication. I'm trying to give her the benefit of the doubt, how the Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursues. I think she just saw a vehicle behind her and just assumed And she's now she's being chased, and she's sort of hysterical. That's my take.
You know,
on it.
It could be you know, she's lying to everybody. It could also be that Jim's pushing the lie, and kind of Krista's over not really knowing the full extent of the lie. We know somebody's lying. We don't quite know the whole story, and we don't quite know to what lengths
you'd think
they've
they would,
gone
you'd to. Think they'd want to say, look, we'd like to see, you said you had a receipt time-stamped with a photo of Joe shopping far north. When we say you're down at Littleton, practically.
You'd think they'd
want
just
to
take
see
a look
that.
At that. They'd
yeah.
see Joe in there, and that'd be the end of it.
But
that's not the way it's going there.
Right.
They slapped the restraining orders on us yesterday, so... and of course, we really have no clue. I mean, what if we're over there protesting,
yeah.
and she shows up? Do we go to jail?
Well, they'd want to send you to jail, sure.
Yeah. So
when is the next hearing to clarify this absurd restraining order?
So we don't know too much about that right now. But the next hearing for the case, we actually didn't even plea or not plea yesterday. They moved that to next Wednesday, May 1st. Where we plead guilty or not guilty, and then I guess we'll just go into the normal trial system. It can take up, you know, the speedy trial provision 6 months, so it could be anywhere from now to October, whatever 6 months is from now. It's almost May, so.
Right.
So right. That's where we're at.
So, Tony, thank you for being a testimony and a voice for the voiceless there at the abortion mill. This case, you know, they mean for evil, God uses for good. It's
Absolutely.
Yet another opportunity to share with the world
that
kids are being killed.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. In that Joe was able to witness to two mothers in a jail who were thinking about killing their babies.
Yes,
we
presented that on the show.
But then I got an email just yesterday that Jim Pryor.
Yeah.
He says, oh, Denver County Jail called us and said they threw her in her own cell.
Yeah.
So, you know,
he's a delusional security guard.
They're just the lies just keep flying and flying. And so we just kind of have to keep trying to defend against the lies.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Thank you so much, Tony Massey.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate Tony. Tony and I first met back when he was involved in the local biblical creation movement, the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. So that work that he did brought Tony and I to be friends before he ended up being a pro-life hero at the abortion mill. So the Brady Amendment pro-life petition, this is so vital. This is a Christian fight for innocent children because unbelievers just don't care. The vast majority, there have been some, but the vast majority don't care. These children are made in God's image and God's likeness, and that's why it's the body of Christ, it's Christians, who eventually will win this victory. The world doesn't care. But when we stop, personhood is the dagger in the heart of liberalism. It's not term limits, it's God created us.